Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Leviticus, and today, this evening, is chapter 14, and let's ask the Lord to, we're going to ask the Lord to anoint chapter 14, and it's regarding the cleansing of leprosy of the skin and other diseases. Primarily leprosy, and the whole world. Leprosy in the Bible is symbolic of sin, and the whole world is tainted with leprosy. They have a very bad sickness of sinning, and this is symbolized in the Old Testament, sin with is leprosy. And there is only one way that this leprosy can be cleansed, and that is to be washed in the blood of Jesus. That takes all the former sins away, and then to go and sin no more. Because sin is leprosy, and sin contaminates the soul with leprosy, and there's no leper that can enter into the camp or into the holy tabernacle, the holy kingdom of heaven. And so this chapter has to do, the header is the cleansing of leprosy. And of course it's talking about the skin, all these different varieties of leprosy. So Father, we ask that you anoint this chapter and anoint all the lessons that you want us to learn from it this evening into our hearts, our minds, and our souls, our spirits. And let every hearer know that this chapter can be applicable to their spirit, their soul. And that many times when we have leprosy in our soul or sin, you will smite or allow a disease to contaminate us so that we can seek your face of how we can be cleansed of the disease. And this always comes about when our souls are cleansed. There's really no chance for the healing until the soul is cleansed. Now there's some people that you allow it to be healed, just as you healed many lepers and other diseases, and the people went right back into sin. But all that does is make them even more guilty, so that they can have no excuse at the judgment bar of God when they come before you on judgment day. Lord, let us learn this lesson from your word, from chapter 14 here, and from the rest of your word, because it is a consistent lesson throughout the Old and New Testament. Lord, we ask it that you bind every evil spirit on earth. For Lord, we bind it, every evil spirit on earth, by prayer, by distributing, by telling the people in this world about your word. And we bind it, Lord, by praying to you and asking you to bind Satan, rebuke Satan, Father God, in everyone's life in the name of Jesus. And let the spirit of your word reach into our spirits, that we all and the rest of the world will be saved and cleansed permanently, and that we continue on to the end as clean vessels, totally cleansed from leprosy. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's go.
Leviticus chapter 14, the cleansing from skin diseases. King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. he shall be brought unto the priest. Verse 3, And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Verse 4, Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. Verse 5, And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Verse 6, As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Verse 7, And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Verse 8, And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Verse 9, But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard, and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes, also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. Verse 10, And on the 8th day he shall take 2 he-lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe-lamb of the 1st year without blemish, and 3 tenth deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. Verse 11, And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
See, by following all these steps, a person could be deemed clean by doing everything that the Lord says to do. That's what it is obedience will cause a person to become clean. And no one is going to be obedient unless they have faith. So by faith, we're saved, and by faith, we're healed. And by faith, we are obedient. Okay?
Translation, verse 1 through 11. The cleansing from skin diseases. Verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, quote, The following instructions must be followed by those seeking purification from a contagious skin disease.
So see, there's rules and regulations that you must do in order to get rid of your diseases in your body and also your spiritually sick soul. Go ahead.
Those who have been healed must be brought to the priest.
So those that have been healed must be brought to the priest. So in order for them to have been healed, they had to do everything that they were told to do. If they hadn't, they wouldn't have been healed. But thank God they did what they were told to do, as to what the Lord told Moses, and Moses told the priests to do, and they were healed. And so they would never have been healed if they had not done what they had been instructed to do. But now, in this particular case, they're healed. And now they have to do what they had to go to the priest and be cleansed. There was a cleansing, a routine that had to be done, a commandments that had to be done after a healing. Okay, go ahead.
Who will examine them at a place outside the camp. If the priest finds that someone has been healed of the skin disease, he will, verse 4, he will perform a purification ceremony using 2 wild birds of a kind permitted for food. Bracket, these birds have to be birds that are permitted for food, and bracket, along with some cedar wood, a scarlet cloth, and a hyssop branch. Verse 5, the priest will order one of the birds to be slaughtered over a clay pot that is filled with fresh spring water. Verse 6, he will then dip the living bird along with the cedar wood, the scarlet cloth, and the hyssop branch into the blood of the slaughtered bird. Verse 7, the priest will also sprinkle the dead bird's blood 7 times over the person being purified, and the priest will pronounce that person to be ceremonially clean. At the end of the ceremony, the priest will set the living bird free so it can fly away into the open fields. verse 8. The people being purified must complete the cleansing ceremony by washing their clothes, shaving off all their hair, and bathing themselves in water.
Now this bird that had to die is symbolic of that we have to die also in order for the miracle of the Lord's healing to occur in us, for the miracle of salvation. The clay pot is also symbolic of us with water. And in the miracle that the Lord performed, which they state was the first miracle that's recorded in the Bible that he did, which was at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where they had all these clay pots and there was water in them, and he changed it to wine, is symbolic of human beings that just have, that cleanse themselves, so there's pure water in there, that he turns the spirit, the wine of the spirit into a human being. All right, so this is like symbolic of that. And when that happens, the bird goes free. Amen?
Amen.
One is symbolic of your death, and the other one is symbolic of resurrection from death unto life. Okay? And from being contaminated and to be cleansed, free as a bird. Amen?
Amen.
So it's good to know those things. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Then they will be ceremonially clean and may return to live inside the camp. However, they must still remain outside their tents for 7 days. Verse 9, on the seventh day they must again shave off all their hair, including the hair of the beard and eyebrows.
A lot of people wouldn't like to have done that. Men would not like to do that. But in order for them to be continually clean, they have to go through all these steps. A lot of people, you know, they get healed and they don't even thank the Lord, like all those lepers. Only one came that got healed, and then one came back and thanked the Lord. The others just went their own way. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so there's things to do after you're healed. There, a lot of people, God, they pray for money, and then the money comes in, they're blessed, and then they forget about God all of a sudden because the trouble of not having the money has disappeared. But when when the Lord blesses you with money, then there's obligations that have to be, if there's an obligation with it, it has to be spent the proper way. You have to pay your bills, and you have to take care of the things. So you have to be led by the Spirit as to know how to spend that money. Or if you're healed, you say, I'm healed, praise the Lord, I was in an iron lung and now I'm free. Now I'm going to go out and commit adultery or fornication, or I'm going to be a lesbian or homosexual. No, you have to shave your head and your beard. And you have to go through these other routines, and you have to be dead now. You're mortified. The Spirit of the Lord enters into you, and you've been healed. You've been blessed in all the ways that the Lord can bless. And you've been saved, and now you have an obligation. There's things that we have to do. Amen? We must do them. All right, then go ahead. In order for us to continue being healed and saved. Now, the Lord called these people out of Egypt, and then he called them into the ministry to do the works that he tells them to do. So we were lost, and now we're saved, and now we don't do the things that we used to do. They used to make different objects, like these pyramids with slime and with bricks. They used to make bricks and all that. They don't do that anymore. Now they just have to obey the Lord. It's a hard thing to be toiling on everyday job, where you're being beaten, and your children, when you have them, you have to drown the boys and take all the abuse and eat only what they give you. But when the Lord sets you free, you're free to do the easy work of the Lord. What's so hard about shaving your beard or cutting your hair off? Amen?
Amen.
These basketball players, you know, they do that on their own, you know, without any... And all kinds of people do that, you know, singers and so on. They want to be like their favorite basketball player or baseball player, or they want to look like their head look like Mike Tyson's head where he shaved it. But over here, you just have to go through that. That's the easy thing to do. It's a lot better than making bricks, amen, and getting beaten all day long and making you drown your children, isn't it?
Yes.
All right, and it's better than going out, punching a time card, and being under subjection to different people out in the world, or to work among the workplace where people are cursing all day long and inviting you into all sorts of things that would destroy your soul. So there's things to do after you're saved. You should all the more serve the Lord and want to do it because it's easy and light. All right, then what?
They must wash their clothes and bathe themselves in water.
You should bathe yourself anyway. Amen?
Amen.
So what's so hard about bathing yourself? Amen?
Amen.
Some people only take a bath, you know, once a month or 2 or 3 months, whether they need it or not, right? It's just, they figure they'll die if they wash. Okay, but this is easy to do. Amen?
Amen.
It's like the man that was told to dip in the Jordan 7 times. I mean, he was so vexed, you know, because he didn't like that particular river. And, you know, and he was almost weeping, you know, when he dunked himself in there 7 times. His advisor told him, isn't it easier to get rid of your leprosy to just dunk 7 times in the Jordan? Then what if he would have told you to do something difficult? Like maybe standing on your head and for half a year or something like that. Just go on and dunk yourself in the water 7 times and you're going to be healed. Amen?
Amen.
Of the leprosy. And when he did, he saw it was gone because he was obedient to what the Lord told the prophet to tell him to do. And it was easy. But it just seems ridiculous to so many people, and therefore they have their disease and then they die with it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
You know, if I had leprosy and there was no other way to get healed but to dunk myself into a septic tank, you know, and I knew it was the Lord telling me, you'd have to go in there, wouldn't you? The Lord would tell you you could wash off afterwards. Amen? That would be very hard. The Lord doesn't tell you to do that. He says in clear water. Amen?
Amen.
It's easy and light, right? Okay, then what?
Then they will be pronounced ceremonially clean. Verse 10. On the next day, the 8th day, each person cured of the skin disease must bring 2 male lambs.
Is that hard to do? You bring 2 male lambs, okay, under your arms. Take them over to the priest, and then what?
And 1 female year-old lamb.
That's fine, you know, just to be cured of leprosy, are you kidding? Then what?
With no physical defects, along with 5 quarts of choice flour, mixed with olive oil, and 3/5 of a pint of olive oil.
Is that hard? Flour's cheap. Olive oil's cheap. Okay. Etc. Then what?
Then the officiating priest will present that person for the cleansing, along with the offerings, before the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle.
Yeah, we just want to finalize this healing and cleanse you once and for all. It's the same thing as dunking yourself in the Jordan. The Lord knew that he wouldn't like to do that, but he had to if he wanted to be healed. Or he could just keep having this horrible, itchy, festering leprosy on his skin all the time. And that isn't fun. Amen?
Amen.
It's more fun to just dunk in the river and it's gone. Voila. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 12. And the priest shall take 1 he-lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Verse 13. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. verse 14. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot.
This is just telling him, hey, this is what you got to do. You got to hear the word of the Lord from now on. He puts it on the earlobe, and then on this right thumb, he says, now yeah, everything you put your hand to, it's got to be holy from now on. And everything that you do, wherever you walk, you have to be a holy person. You have to go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happen to you, that you should catch something and God won't heal you anymore. Just like if you get your soul saved, you get washed in the blood, and then the Lord says that you're not to sin anymore. And if you do, a worse thing will happen to you, and that means that seven devils will enter into you. And you'll be worse off than you were before you got saved. Only one demon was cast out of you. So seven more, the one that was cast out of you comes back, and seven more worse than him. So there's the demon of alcoholism, drugs, there's another one of homosexuality, another one of adultery and fornication. And you know, you never know what variety you're going to pick up. Okay, it all depends on who, what the devil brings into you. But that's what it said means. Go and sin no more. Amen?
Amen?
And here it is right here. And the Lord says, go and sin no more. Because after you've been saved and you've been healed, your soul is healed and you're clean, and then you continue on in sin, well, then there's no more forgiveness for you, because the Lord isn't going to die again for you and cleanse you all over again. He said, I am he who was dead, and now look at me, I'm alive forevermore. That means I'm not going to come back and die for anybody for your sins anymore. So go and sin no more, all right? Keep your salvation. Okay, then what else?
Verse 15. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Verse 16. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord.
Yes, in other words, now walk in the Spirit. That's symbolic of walking in the Spirit from now on, so that you'll stay healed and that you'll be a productive soul in this world that God can represent himself through. Not in yet, but through. I mean, the Spirit of God used to come down on people like Samson and the prophets and tell them different things to write. But the Spirit was not living in the Holy Spirit. They were not baptized with the Holy Spirit until after Jesus lived a perfect life, died on the cross, went to hell, was buried in the tomb, and then rose, and then was from the dead, and then spent 40 days on earth with the disciples, and then was ascended up into the kingdom of heaven, and then became the Holy Spirit and entered into the 120 people in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And now the Lord lives in us. Okay? And so that's wonderful. Amen?
Amen.
And so he helps us. He mortifies all these ungodly desires and lusts, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, if we just continue in the Holy Spirit and stay washed in the blood. Stay without sin. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 17. And of the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand.
He has to hear the Spirit, the word. He has to be obedient to do the things of the Spirit. He has to be washed and then do the things. Everything he puts his hand to is what the Lord says in his word, and then he puts it on what?
Upon the great toe of his right foot.
He has to walk in the Spirit. Amen? This just carries right through into the New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Upon the blood of the trespass offering.
Yeah, the sin offering. Then what else?
Verse 18. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed.
Right, he's going to cleanse, he's put on the mind of God, the mind of Christ, amen?
Amen.
To meditate on the Lord day and night, it's all symbolic of that. And what?
And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord.
Okay, then?
Verse 19, And the priest shall offer the sin offering, and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. Verse 20. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
To be clean. Okay.
Translation, verse 12 through 20. The priest will take one of the lambs and the olive oil and offer them as a guilt offering by lifting them up before the Lord. Verse 13. He will then slaughter the lamb there in the sacred area.
And this is he's confessing that he's guilty. He's done something and he's now abiding to do the things that the Lord says to do. And therefore the Lord has cleansed him, and now he's offering these sacrifices to the Lord in thanksgiving to acknowledge that this is I was guilty and now you're forgiving me. Okay, and then what else? And now I'm going to be straight with you. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be cleansed with the blood and walk in the Spirit from now on. My soul. All right, then what?
At the place where sin offerings and burnt offerings are slaughtered. As with the sin offering, the guilt offering will be given to the priest. It is a most holy offering.
Right, so you give your life to the Lord and to do the bidding of the priest. So one of them is given to the priest. In other words, this is symbolic of you giving your life to have the priest give the instructions of the Lord to you. Amen?
Amen.
You'll walk humbly before the Lord and obey him who has the rule over you. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 14. The priest will then take some of the blood from the guilt offering and put it on the tip of the healed person's right ear, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot. Verse 15.
Then he admitted his guilt, and now he's hearing the word, he's going to do the word, he's going to walk in the word. Okay? He's cleansed, everything's cleansed now.
Verse 15, then the priest will pour some of the olive oil into the palm of his own left hand. Verse 16, he will dip his right finger into the oil and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord. Verse 17, the priest will then put some of the oil remaining in his left hand on the tip of the healed person's right ear, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot, in addition to the blood of the guilt offering. Verse 18, the oil remaining in the priest's hand will then be poured over the healed person's head. In this way, the priest will make atonement before the Lord for the person being cleansed. Verse 19. Then the priest must offer the sin offering and again perform the atonement ceremony for the person cured of the skin disease.
Yeah, because the animal, symbolic of Jesus, has atoned for his sin, has forgiven, has shed his blood. Because there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And there's no healing but by Christ. And the healing is, and the casting out of devils is by the Spirit of God. And you have to be cleansed for the sins that were done in your body. Because we're going to be judged by, our spirit is going to be judged by all the things that we did or didn't do in our bodies. So our spirit is going to be reconciled with our body. I don't care if it was sprinkled all over the world. The ashes, it's all those ashes, exactly the same ones are going to come together into the same body, and your spirit, your soul is going to be reconciled. And then it goes before the Lord to judgment, and if you're born again and you're clean and walked in the Spirit, you're going to be reconciled into the Lord. Come in, my good and faithful servant. Well done. And if you're not, if you've still got sins on your soul, even one sin, you cannot enter in. It's not possible. All right, then what? Because the Word of God said it is not possible, and you're saved by believing the Word of the Lord. So stay under the blood. Stay in the Spirit. Then what?
After that, the priest will slaughter the whole burnt offering. Verse 20.
Also symbolic of all of you, yes, we have to give all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to the Lord. We have to be a whole burnt offering. We have to be burnt out of our old life and filled up with the Spirit of God, the life of God in us. mingled in with our spirits, and our flesh must be mortified. And the power of God, the Spirit of God, is so powerful that it easily mortifies the deeds of our flesh. And people that don't believe it will never be healed or saved. That's just all there is to it. Then what else?
And offer it on the altar along with the grain offering.
In this grain also is the bread of life. It's symbolic of the bread of life, which is the Word of God. Then what else?
In this way, the priest will make atonement for the person being cleansed, and the healed person will be ceremonially clean. King James Version, verse 21. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived, to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil. Verse 22. And 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he is able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. Verse 23.
And so the other one is going to become burned out. It's going to be a heap of ashes because it's going to do what the Lord wants it to be. No one can be themselves and get into the kingdom of heaven. We must be like him. So we have to study war no more. We can't war against God anymore. We have to submit ourselves to the Lord. The only way that you can beat God is to just do what he says. It's the only way you can beat judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Is to do what he says, and then the law won't judge you. Then what?
Verse 23. And he shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Verse 24. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. Verse 25. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Verse 26. And the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. Verse 27. And the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand, 7 times before the Lord.
Verse all this is a repeat of the same thing that I've already explained. Then what else?
Verse 28. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot.
Is that hard to do?
No.
To let somebody put some blood on your ear and on your toe and on your thumb? No. God, if I can be healed, just go ahead and do that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Then what?
Upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. Verse 29. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. Verse 30. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves, or of the young pigeons, such as he can get.
231.
Verse 31. Even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering with the meat offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. Translation, verse 21 through 31. But anyone who cannot afford 2 lambs must bring 1 male lamb for a guilt offering along with 2 quarts of choice flour mixed with olive oil as a grain offering, and 3/5 of a pint of olive oil. The guilt offering will be presented by lifting it up, thus making atonement for the person being cleansed. Verse 22. The person being cleansed must also bring 2 turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, whichever the person can afford. One of the pair must be used for a sin offering, and the other for a whole burnt offering. Verse 23. On the 8th day, the person being cleansed must bring the offerings to the priest for the cleansing ceremony to be performed in the Lord's presence at the tabernacle entrance. Verse 24. The priest will take the lamb for the guilt offering, along with the olive oil, and lift them up before the Lord as an offering to him. Verse 25. Then the priest will slaughter the lamb for the guilt offering, and put some of its blood on the tip of the person's right ear, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot. Verse 26. The priest will also pour some of the olive oil into the palm of his own left hand. Verse 27, he will dip his right finger into the oil and sprinkle some of it seven times before the Lord. Verse 28, the priest will then put some of the olive oil from his hand on the lobe of the person's right ear, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot, in addition to the blood of the guilt offering. Verse 29, the oil that is still in the priest's hand will then be poured over the person's head. In this way, the priest will make atonement for the person being cleansed. Verse 30, then the priest will offer the two turtle doves or the two young pigeons, whichever the person was able to afford. Verse 31, one of them is for a sin offering and the other for a whole burnt offering, to be presented along with the grain offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement before the Lord for the person being cleansed. King James Version, verse 32. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. Verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Verse 34. When ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession. Verse 35, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, it seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Verse 36, then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests go into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. Verse 37, and he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall. Verse 38, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. Verse 39, and the priest shall come again the seventh day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house. Verse 40, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. Verse 41, and he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. Verse 42, and they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. Translation, verse 32 through 42. These are the instructions for cleansing those who have recovered from a contagious skin disease, but who cannot afford to bring the sacrifices normally required for the ceremony of cleansing. The treatment of contaminated houses, verse 33. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, quote, verse 34, when you arrive in Canaan, the land I am giving you as an inheritance, I may contaminate some of your houses with an infectious mildew.
See, they had not reached the border yet, and they had not sinned by believing that the people were too strong for them and causing everybody in Israel to fear. And so he was preparing them to go right into the Holy Land, amen, into the Promised Land, the land of milk and honey. He was telling them all these things that they can do. And then they blew it, right, just a few days later. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 35. The owner of such a house must then go to the priest and say, quote, it looks like my house has some kind of disease, unquote. Verse 36. Before the priest examines the house, he must have the house emptied so everything inside will not be pronounced unclean. Then the priest will go in and inspect the house. Verse 37. If he finds bright green or reddish streaks on the walls of the house, and the contamination appears to go deeper than the wall's surface, verse 38, he will leave the house and lock it up for 7 days. Verse 39, on the seventh day, the priest must return for another inspection. If the mildew on the walls of the house has spread, verse 40, the priest must order that the stones from those areas be removed. The contaminated material will then be thrown into an area outside the town designated as ceremonially unclean. Verse 41. Next, the inside walls of the entire house must be scraped thoroughly, and the scrapings dumped in the unclean place outside the town. Verse 42. Other stones will be brought in to replace the ones that were removed, and the walls will be replastered. King James Version, verse 43. And if the plague come again, and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered, verse 44, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house. It is unclean.
Just like a house, we're the house of God, we're the temple of the Lord, and he wants everything cleansed in there, and this is symbolic, and we wouldn't want to live in a house that's got a plague in it, right?
Right.
So he doesn't want to either, so we have to keep ourselves clean. Amen?
Amen.
It's very, you know, it makes sense. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Verse 45. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Verse 46. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until the even. Verse 47. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. Verse 48. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. Verse 49. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. Verse 50. And he shall kill the one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. Verse 51. And he shall take the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. Verse 52. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the running water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and with the scarlet. Translation, verse 43 through 52. Quote, but if the mildew reappears after all these things have been done, the priest must return and inspect the house again. If he sees that the affected areas have spread, the walls are clearly contaminated with an infectious mildew, and the house is defiled. Verse 45. It must be torn down, and all its stones, timber, and plaster must be carried out of town to the place designated as ceremonially unclean.
This is like we, the house of the Lord, if we get contaminated with sin, then we have to be burned. All right? We have to go to hell. Okay, then what else?
Verse 46. Anyone who enters the house while it is closed will be considered ceremonially unclean until evening. Verse 47. All who sleep or eat in the house must wash their clothing. But verse 48. But if the priest returns for his inspection and finds that the affected areas have not reappeared after the fresh plastering, then he will pronounce the house clean, because the infectious mildew is clearly gone. Verse 49. To purify the house, the priest will need two birds, some cedar wood, a scarlet cloth, and a hyssop branch. Verse 50. He will slaughter one of the birds over a clay pot that is filled with fresh spring water. Verse 51. Then he will dip the cedar wood, the hyssop branch, the scarlet cloth, and the living bird into the blood of the slaughtered bird, and he will sprinkle the house seven times. Verse 52. After he has purified the house in this way, King James Version, verse 53. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields, and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. Verse 54. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy, and scall, verse 55, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, verse 56, and for a rising, and for a scab, and for a bright spot. Verse 57, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy.
Yeah, this is a whole thing about getting rid of sin in your life, and so that the Lord can heal you and bless your life. That's simple. Just stay away from the unclean thing. Stay away from sin. All right, go ahead.
Translation, verse 53 through 57. He will release the living bird in the open fields outside the town. In this way, the priest will make atonement for the house, and it will be ceremonially clean. Verse 54. These are the instructions for dealing with the various kinds of contagious skin diseases and infectious mildew. Verse 55. Whether in clothing, in a house. Verse 56. In a swollen area of the skin, in a skin rash, or in a shiny patch of skin. Verse 57. These instructions must be followed when dealing with any contagious skin disease or infectious mildew to determine when something is ceremonially clean or unclean. Unquote.
Okay, now that was the end of the last verse in Leviticus chapter 14. Now we have some commentary.
14 verse 31. Cleansed. The Hebrew word is, quote, taher, unquote, pronounced T-A-H-H-E-H-R. Strong's Concordance number 2891. To make clean, to purify, to be pure, clean, uncontaminated. This verb and its relative adjective, quote, tahor, unquote, are used for cleansing physically, ceremonially, and morally, and thus can refer to pure gold, Exodus 25:11.
Because pure gold is also symbolic of being pure. All right, then what else?
Exodus 25:11, quote, and thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about, unquote. Pure offerings, Leviticus 14:4, and a pure heart, Psalm 51:10. Leviticus 14:4. He will perform a purification ceremony using two wild birds of a kind permitted for food, along with some cedar wood, a scarlet cloth, and a hyssop branch. And a pure heart, Psalm 51:10. Quote, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Unquote. Going back some to chapter 14, verse 12.
No, a lot of people say when he says renew, what does he say?
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Well, we have to make the spirit in us renewed. A lot of people just pray and say the Lord didn't do anything, but we have to discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. So a lot of people have to discipline themselves to be clean, to cleanse themselves. It's like there is the law of Nazarite. Now, there's people in the book of Numbers where it talks about if a person desires to voluntarily become a Nazarite for a certain period of time. Now, there are Nazarites that are Nazarites for forever, like Samson and John the Baptist. And they're told that they should never eat anything from the vine, including raisins, grapes, or the skins of raisins, or to drink wine, or even grape juice, for that matter. And then they also are never to cut their hair. And also they are never to be come near a dead body, even their mother, father, sister, brother, or wife, or anybody. They can't touch a dead body. But some of them make a vow to be a Nazarite for a certain period of time. And during that period of time, they can't do that. And they're not allowed to do those three things because they made a vow unto the Lord to do that. So read that last statement there.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
Okay, yes.
And renew a right spirit within me.
So they're doing that voluntarily. They're making it up in their own heart that they want to be that they're not going to rely on the Lord to just send the Spirit down to them, but they're going to do these things that they have vowed to do. In other words, to not drink anything or eat anything from the vine. They're not going to cut their hair, and they're not going to touch a dead body. Those are the three things, and they've consecrated themselves away from all sin. They have to do that on their own in order for them to have a clean spirit and a pure heart. So create in me, give me the power or the grace, the power to consecrate myself to the point to where mm-hmm. by my consecration, by my keeping all the commandments, then you give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power to officiate as a priest that you're well pleased with. All right? So these are just not words that you can say, oh, Lord, create in me a pure a heart, and also renew a new spirit in me. You have to have the spirit or the desire in your heart enough to make yourself pure. You have to be willing. You have to willingly take it upon yourself to be cleansed and pure and to walk in the Holy Spirit, because it's not going to happen without your will being involved with it. Jesus says, I have a will, and my will is to do the will of the Father. And so anyone that wants to have a pure heart and a spirit that the Lord will not take his spirit away has to be willing to want, they have to want to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, and they have to make themselves be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. Because we know what's right, and we know what's wrong, and we have to do the things that are right. And in order for the Lord to retain his spirit in us. We cannot just say, oh, create a new spirit in me or make my heart pure and all these things. You have to make it pure. That's why it says these are voluntary things that people that want to be Nazarites now. Other people volunteer to just walk in the Spirit and to keep themselves cleansed in the blood. They have to voluntarily make themselves think of the Lord all day long in the Scriptures, and they have to voluntarily read the Scriptures, because nothing's going to happen unless you make it happen. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the New Testament even tells people that you're not, he says, I will give the Holy Spirit to those that voluntarily keep my commandments, all right? Because God didn't make us into robots. He made us free moral agents, and we have to voluntarily, and we have to discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Word, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to see what it says, and then we have to make ourselves do it. And then he fills us with the Spirit and gives us the gifts of the Spirit and will be our God, because he sees that we're his people. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. Now, if you it's better not to ever make a vow if you're going to break it. So these people, there just happens to be scriptures in the sixth chapter of the book of Numbers where it says, if you make a vow, it's either the fifth or sixth chapters, to be a Nazarite for a certain period of time. And then it plainly tells you that there's, and it tells you those three things that you must do. Nothing grapes, nothing from the vine, no cutting your hair, and nothing to do with dead bodies. Because you're a minister of life, not death. Amen?
Amen.
Some people think, oh, I'm just going to die if I become saved. No, you're going to become alive. Okay, you're dead now. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to take the bull by the horns and just do it. All right, then what?
Going back some to chapter 14, verse 12. And the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering, a sin offering. The law of Moses made provision for the healing of a person afflicted with skin diseases. Verses 1 through 32 describe the process of healing and the offering which is made to God for the recovery. When Jesus healed the leper in Luke 5, 12 through 14, he commanded him to show himself to the priest.
Right, because the priests were so corrupt then, and they hadn't seen anybody do this for years and years, to have them come in and say, look, I was, I had leprosy, and, I got cleansed, because the Lord healed me of the leprosy, and so he told me to come in and do what the law of Moses tells me to do. And so that is shocked the priest, said, my God, we don't even know how to do this service anymore, You understand?
Yes.
That he did that for, you know, like, to shock them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, because back at that particular time when Jesus was here, people even paid money so that they could become priests, because it was a it became a political thing rather than a holy thing that we're speaking about, what Moses is talking about here. That's how far astray the priests had gone. And so now they're left without burnt offerings, without any atoning blood, and they don't receive the blood of Jesus, so all the people that are supposed to be religious Jews are still in their sin. And if they die, they're going to hell. All right, then what?
Luke 5:12-14.
Oh, read it again. What is it?
Okay. When Jesus healed the leper in Luke 5:12-14, he commanded him to show himself to the priest and to make the offering which was commanded by Moses in the law.
No, they can read that, okay, because that's as I explained it anyway.
Yes, sir.
All right, then what else?
This includes that the biblical regulations pertaining to skin diseases were being observed by the Jewish people during the time of Jesus.
And certainly was being instructed by Jesus to follow the instructions of the Old Testament. Amen?
Amen.
So he was preaching the Old Testament, and so the Jews, but he was... He was the fulfillment of the Old Testament and the fulfillment of the law. He wasn't the ending of the law. He just showed that human bodies could live a holy life, that they could keep all the commandments by being in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 14 of Leviticus, and we'll be doing chapter 15, God willing, the Lord willing, this evening. Till then, meditate on these things. They're important. They're lessons for us to know and to keep. Amen?
Amen.
Because surely, you know, we have to keep them in order to get into heaven. Concentrate on the Lord so you'll have perfect peace and a sound mind. Peace that passes all understanding, because it's like a tranquility to know that no matter all the chaos that's going around us, if anything should happen to us, we have the peace that passes understanding to know that we'll be in the kingdom of heaven. So we have, there's no peace that can match that. Amen?
Amen.
Well, until that, until chapter 15, God bless you and praise the Lord.